Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday, so it's time for the Win, Lose, or Tie podcast with your host, the styling, profiling, limousine riding, swatch wearing, kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, woo, son of a gun, and he's having a hard time holding down those alligators, Ty King.
Yo, yo, yo. Yes, sir. Welcome to the Win, Lose, or Tie podcast. I'm your host, Ty King. If you haven't already guessed that, then there you go. There's your first clue. I am your host, Ty King, Ty with an E. And real quick, a couple of announcements real fast before I get into our very special guest today is, one, while you're listening to this episode, go over and subscribe to the channel. Because that doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you a dime to, doesn't cost you a dime to listen to this podcast at all. And I don't make any money. It's just for fun. So, you know, that's what that rolls. So go follow that on the Instagram if you do Instagram. TikTok is the same thing. Win, lose, or tie. I don't do as much on TikTok, but I'm going to start doing more. And, what else is there? Let's talk about a big milestone. Well, last week I had Benji Sneed on and we sang some songs. What I did was not really singing. It was like yelling into a microphone. We had a good time. So you go back and listen to that one. If you need an uplifting time, just go listen to that. Now, let's see. The milestone. In between Benji's episode and today's episode, I thought it would be close, but I did it. I've hit 20,000 downloads. Which that's a big deal for me and it's a big accomplishment. So thank you very much. That goes out to you guys for listening. And I'm very, 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 very appreciative of that. So 20,000 downloads. Let's keep it going. Share this episode if you need to, because today's episode is going to be freaking awesome. And without further ado, let's bring him in. I could just read his bio, but that would take the whole hour and a half. So just so you know, Coach Kitley is here, Coach Wes Kitley, and he's the third Kitley I've had on. I've had Zach, his middle son. I've had Chris. I mean, Zach, his youngest son. I've had Chris, the middle son. And then he's got an older son named John, who I know listens, but John not being on Win, Lose, or Tie is perfectly okay with him. He's probably not the kind of guy that wants to come on, and he's never expressed any of that kind of feeling. But Coach Kitley, fresh out of a national championship, you got to be on cloud nine still. But welcome to the Win, Lose, or Tie podcast.
Appreciate it, Ty. I'm really, really honored to be here. We've been trying to do this for a while,
yeah.
So I'm really honored that I get to be here at this time.
Yeah, and I kind of told you before we started recording is that I didn't want to do it. We had scheduled kind of the week before Nationals. You'd won the Big 12. And then I had a real bad feeling in my stomach. I was like, I'm going to have Wes Kitley on. This is a big episode. He's a national champion coach. He's going to win his second national champion at Tech. And I was like, if they don't win, I felt like it was going to be my fault. I felt like I jinxed it. So I'm glad that you brought home the hardware and I don't have to worry about that. And you're here and we're going to talk everything, really. We're going to have a great conversation today. So, but I didn't jinx it, so I'm happy to do that. But, Coach, you got to be on cloud nine still.
Well, it's just incredible. It was an awesome day Saturday. We started the day with no points and scored 50 and a half in about a three-hour span. I just couldn't be more proud of my guys and how dialed in we were, how focused we were to win that thing. And it's really hard to win it. You've got to have everybody on the same page on the same day. And to do that, my hat's off to my staff and to those kids.
Yeah. Well, hats off to you.
I mean, I couldn't be happy to bring that thing home to my people, I say, in Lubbock, Texas.
You dang right, because we are your people. And it's kind of funny. I kind of bring you up in a lot of my Facebook posts sometimes. I don't know if you're aware of that. I don't do politics or anything, but whenever they couldn't hire a Speaker of the House and they kept voting and nobody was passing, I just put on Facebook, I was like, Wes Kitley, Speaker of the House, that's enough said, everybody will be happy.
I'm like you, I'm like, I'm gonna stay out of that
politics. Well, yeah, that's like the most political I've ever been, but I was like, you know what, Wes Kitley, needs to, you know, he probably needs to run the country. That's what I think. I think we'd be better off. Anyway, okay, but you're not going to announce your candidacy for president or anything like that?
No, I think I'm going to stay just being okay. The head track coach at Texas Tech, I hope, for a while.
I thought I was going to get you to do it. But you know, it's I'm in awe, really, of you, Coach, and I've known you for a long time, but you still get that kind of a feeling where you're just a little, you know, it's like a coach that you grew up with, kind of. And there's still some intimidating factors there. I don't know why, but I mean, I text Chris this morning and I go, man, I'm nervous and I'm scared. I don't know, but hey, but you're here. And I want to get into a couple things. First and foremost, we're going to talk about the national meet here in just a little bit. But first and foremost, I want to read off some of Kitley's, and you can sit there and boast in this. So you were born in rural Texas, which you're the second person on my podcast from rural Texas.
Wow.
I had Tully Brown on.
Tully. Oh, yeah. Yes. Sure.
So I knew you would know him because rural is the size of, you know, what? I mean, how many people live in rural, roughly?
Well, I would say now 500.
500 people. There you go.
It was 1,024 when I was a senior in high school.
Oh, really? Yeah. So, boy, that really hit a growth spurt, didn't they? Yeah. Kitley was born in rural Texas, and he's a graduate of Abilene Christian University, which he has a lot of history there. He got his master's degree in school administration, and he was a three-time NAIA All-American in the 800. Okay, not just a coach, but you were All-American in the 800.
Well, I tried my best.
I want to ask you this. To me, I've always considered the quarter, and I'm old-fashioned. My dad gives me all. It's the open quarter. That's what he calls it. I don't think anybody calls it that anymore. But he ran that and went to the state track meet, got second at the state track meet. But the 800, I think, is the most intriguing race. That's me.
Yeah.
But throw relays aside. It's a race where there's sprinting, but there's gamesmanship, but there's strategy. There's a lot. Let me ask you this. What is your favorite event? Is the 800 your favorite event?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I coach it. I ran it.
Yeah.
Now, I ran the quarter myself my freshman, sophomore, junior year, and then I kind of got injured, and they put me in the 800 when I was rehabbing, kind of coming back, and I won, and then the coach said, let's run one more week, make sure your leg's well. Then I won again, and then, hey, the Kitley stayed in the 800 meters.
That's right. That's right. Will you be willing? Right now, I know that some of your athletes might listen to this. I'm not sure, but what was your PR in the 800? Do you remember?
149 in the 800 70s.
That's pretty dang good.
I wanted to run the 400 my whole life. You know, I didn't want to run the 800.
Yeah,
I was 6 foot, 135 pounds, and the coach said you'd be a great 800 guy.
Yeah,
and my high school coach put me in there, and
then
everybody.
Well, that's a. That's just called good coaching then.
It is called good coaching. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah,
and I realized that after a little while.
Yeah.
And quit fighting them on it.
Well, then you went and ran at ACU, right?
I did.
Yeah, and oh, that's right. I said that. But as a coach, you coached at Abilene Christian. Was that what was your first coaching job? Like, did you ever coach in a high school?
No, this is the craziest thing, and it would never happen in today's time. But
yeah.
I graduated in 1981, had a really good career there, loved it.
Uh-huh.
And the head coach there, Don Hood, asked me to volunteer and go ahead and get your master's. He recommended me getting his master's and said it'll pay you bigger when you go to high school. So I did.
Right.
And I was just finishing up. I did a 12, 12, and 12, a 36-hour program. I was killing myself to get this master's.
No kidding.
In about, I'd say, April or May of that year, Wally Bullington, the athletic director, walked down and told me that Burrow McCoy, who's Colt McCoy's granddad, he was the former track coach and did basketball and track. He wanted to just do one.
Yeah.
And he picked basketball.
Right.
So he asked me to be the head women's coach.
For the track team. Yeah.
$10,000.
Yeah.
And I was going to be the dorm daddy for the athletes over in Morris Dorm. So I thought I'd died and gone to heaven.
Yeah.
So I said yes.
Okay.
And I never coached a day in high school.
So you get thrown right into the fire at the next level. Which turns out to be a pretty daggum good thing, you know. But had you ever wanted, had the desire to coach women? Because coaching women is, and it's harder, I think. You're just dealing with a lot of, you know, without being offensive, you know, you're just dealing with, women are a different breed of cat. You know?
Oh, no doubt. And I never dreamed. I was going to take, Colleen Ellison had the head track job open.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Judd had told me, oh, that's a great job. They have some great athletes. So I was going there. Mm-hmm. Already really had the job lined up.
Right.
But when he said head women's coach, I was shocked. I never thought I'd coach a woman in my life at that time. But I'm in my 40th year this year of coaching.
40 years.
And I've coached women 40 years. They didn't give me the men at Abilene until 93.
Right.
And I wasn't the head men's coach, but then I've had them all since then.
Right. Well, and at women, with the women's, this is, I want to make sure I go with this step by step. In the, with the women at Abilene Christian, you were the women's coach, and you won the track and field championship at the Division II level in 1985. Now, that's your first big title, right? Like that was.
It was. Yeah. I was hired in 83, and so that 83-84 year was my first year, and we got third at nationals my first year. Then the next year we won the first national championship for the women.
Yeah, you did that, and you also won the indoor track and field championship during your tenure. And just hold on just a second. You can take a drink of water. You can go have a sandwich if you want to while I read this off, because check this out, folks. Listen, I'm not lying when I say this. He was the NCAA Women's Indoor Track and Field Championship. He was the coach during his tenure. And I'm going to read off every year he won a national championship. 88, 1989, 1990, 1991, 1993, 1994, 1995, 1996, 1997, 1998, and 1999. Kitley's program won 29 national track and field championships, the most in the Division I and Division II combined. What? I mean, really?
We had a good run.
Boy, no kidding. Yeah, good night.
Once we got it going, then it was just amazing how, you know, people wanted to come there, and I just had the opportunity to.
Yeah.
I was mentored very well by the men's coach there, who was my coach, Don Hood.
Right.
And I'm so thankful for that. And my high school coach, he worked my tail off. You know, he's like a Don Black of a friendship, you know, of how great a track coach and human being he was.
100%.
I had the same with Jasper Wilson at Rule.
Yeah.
And Art Riles' dad, Dennis Riles, was also the best football coach. And they were just wonderful.
Yeah. Did you play football?
I played football till the seventh grade. I was quarterback. I got hit in the eye in practice with a basketball, and it knocked my retina loose in 1970. And from that point on, they would let me do any kind of contact sports.
Right.
So that's where I kind of got pushed into just track.
Right. Man, that's – you can't even make that up.
No.
That you got hit in the eye with a basketball during football practice.
Yeah. No, exactly.
That's crazy.
And we – Well, we were goofing around in the gym, and a guy was throwing one with, you know, the side gyms we used to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, me and my brother-in-law, Leonard Rhodes, now was playing one-on-one where I was goofing off.
Uh-huh.
Well, a guy was trying to make one on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
And it hit and bounced back. It knocked me out. I never even know what happened.
Wow. Well,
but in those days, a detached retina was a big deal.
Yeah.
So they couldn't hardly repair it.
Man. Well,
so I'm one-eyed. Well, I'm one-eyed Jackie.
That's okay. You're doing just fine.
My left eye's been good.
You're doing just fine. You're seeing the right things. I will tell you that right now. So, and so just to stay at ACU real quick, because I just want to get through this bio. During his 15-year tenure at ACU, Kitley coached 12 Olympic qualifiers, 3 Pan Am American Games athletes, and 5 World University Games. Athletes, 16 athletes who qualified for the world championship and won in the United States national champion. Okay, I got to keep reminding folks, this is at ACU. We haven't even moved over to the red and black yet.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, it was, I had some really outstanding kids I was able to recruit there and develop. And,
yeah.
You know, I tell people this all the time, what I did at Abilene, I never made any money. But, you know, I'm an alum. Abilene Christian was great to me. But, you don't ever know what's going on. And I got blessed at Texas Tech with a better salary and a Division One job by what I did at that Division Two school.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you don't always know what you're doing.
For sure.
When you're younger, but it's setting you up for later on.
Did you have an, were you like ACU at first? Were you like ACU, this found it, this is my job, never leaving?
Totally.
Yeah.
No, that was it. I was going to die on the Holy Hill. We called Abilene Christian the Holy Hill. And I was going to die there. Because, you know, I was happy. We had a good life. We were moving along. I just wasn't making any money and starving.
Yeah, exactly.
Those three snotty-nosed boys that I was, you know, were little, and it was just tough to make ends meet. And, you know, in 99, which we can talk about later, but
yeah,
I got the call.
Yeah, that's not even, don't even think twice about it, right? Really? I mean, that's too much of an opportunity.
Yeah, we were considering going Division One, and I really wanted to go Division One at Abilene.
Right.
But they just decided against it.
Yeah.
At the time, you could go in one sport, and I was begging them, let's go in track. We can really compete well.
Right, right. Because in football, it's probably going to take a while.
It was.
Yeah.
And money to,
yeah,
to compete against Alabama or Texas Tech, you got to have a lot of money. But in track and field, I felt like we could do it.
Yeah.
And
man,
they decided not to. And I left, and I don't remember how many years, 5-7 years later, they decided to go.
Yeah.
It still all worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have me being as self-absorbed and as, I don't want to say narcissistic, but it's all about me in my life. And one of the things I think is the coolest thing ever is that you have a bust. You have an actual sculpture at ACU of yourself. I mean, do you not wake up in the morning and go, I'm the man. I'm the man. I have a bust made of me. I would. That's how I would wake up every morning. I'd probably carry it with me around and just be like, hey, look at this.
Yeah, my dad was the most humble person in this world.
Yeah.
And my mom too. But no, I've never been that way. My motto is humble and hungry. I am very thankful for what I have. But, I have a side of me people don't know. And that's it. Like, I mean, I am working constantly to get this thing done. And I have a tenacious spirit about myself. But
yeah,
it's not always about me. And I don't like doing this thing by myself. My staff is so important to me.
Yeah.
And if I had to just coach by myself, I wouldn't coach.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot for one coach. Because you got a lot of events. And, but at some point, you got to know how to coach each event if you're being the head coach.
Well, I was mentored very well. That's the greatest thing happened to me at Abilene Christian. Is I didn't have many full-time assistants at all. We were having part-time people helping me in two or three. When I started with the women, I just had the volleyball coach would come and help me, out when she'd finished volleyball.
So I see.
Down there. But I had to learn the javelin, I had to learn the hammer, I had to learn the discus. Those things were immensely helpful to me because now I know if my coaches, I know enough about it, even though I'm not the total expert. I have a throws coach.
Right.
I have a jumps coach. But I had to coach all those events. And it's the greatest blessing of my life. Not knowing it at the time, I'm feeling sorry for myself. It's the best thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, and I get that. But just, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like a lot. I feel like I do this in a normal life basis. I know a little bit about a lot. Yeah. I don't know I don't know a lot about anything. I can talk to you about track and field and sports we're scratching my surface right now. But I've been around track my entire life. I mean, our family vacation every year growing up was to state track meet.
Of course.
Because dad was working as an official and it was like, here we go. We're going to Austin for the state track meet. I mean, it wasn't Disney World. It wasn't, it wasn't going to the lake. We went to Austin for the state track meet. So, and I used to love it, man. I developed a love for track and field there at the high school state track meet. And so, track was part of our family, even though, I mean, I was terrible. I didn't run track. I would have gotten negative points. They'd been like, hey, that guy can't do that.
Well, okay? I think when you grow up like us, friendship and rule and it was the whole, when I was 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, you know, Paul Cornelius won the 400. That was a runner for rural.
Yeah.
I grew up as a little kid, like, that's New York City.
Yeah.
We didn't take vacations. We never did. We were poor. We never took vacations.
Yeah.
But to go, to get to the state track meet.
That's a big deal.
And the whole, probably 300, we had 350 when we won in 74.
Yeah.
Art Briles, me, Rob, my brother, and Paul, Tommy Cornelius, the younger brother of Paul, we won state championship in 74. 300 people rule were there. It was like, that is the show.
Last one
out. We called it the big house.
Well, that's really, you're being, like, it's almost literal. Like, the last one person to leave the town, turn the lights off.
Oh, yeah. Somebody wanted to rob Rule.
It could have been. That's so funny. I want to tell you a quick story about Dad. Okay. Because Dad went to high school at Alney.
Oh, yeah.
And, my dad was an exceptional athlete, exceptional. Now, my dad grew up in San Angelo. Parents were the worst. Some child abuse going on there. And Dad, at 11 years old, packed a suitcase and hitchhiked to his cousin's house in Alney. That's where he wanted to live. So she brought him in, and she is tough as nails. Her name is Rudell. Well, who, I mean, Rudell, that doesn't sound like a lady you want to get candy from,
no.
You know, but she was so personable, like the personality was bigger than everything, but she was hardcore. Okay. So, and they had oil, they had money, but you would never know it. Oh my goodness. You'd never know it. So Dad runs the 400, the 440 back
sure.
then, and win the district championship, then makes it to state. So he's in the state tournament. He's in the state track meet.
Yeah.
Big deal, right?
You betcha.
And Rudell and Claude, very proud, but they're not going. Okay? They're not going to go. And so here's what Dad had to do. She told them. She wrote down on a piece of paper. If you win first place, call collect and say it's from Jerry. If you win second place, call collect and say it's from Bobby. If you win third place, call collect and say it's from, you know, Wes. And if you finish past third, don't call. Yeah. So Dad, he got second by a hundredth of a second. Okay, got second. So he called home. Rudell answered the phone. It's a collect call. It's a collect call from Bobby. And she goes, don't know any Bobby. Hung up the phone. She looked over at Claude and goes, Jerry got second.
Awesome. Saving that dime.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. That's got to be the best story.
Yeah, ever. I mean, to tell you, you know, and for his love of track and field, too, he was a starter for forever.
Oh, he started forever.
I mean, golly. I don't know how many regional meets.
Well, he started several meets for me.
Yeah. I mean, we think that's why he's hard of hearing is that gun went off in his ear, and he never wore any protection or anything.
They used 44 caliber, yeah. 32 caliber. It wasn't like a little old 22 ping.
Yeah.
You know,
Dad got in trouble in Abernathy starting to track meet because he uses a regular pistol with blanks.
Yes.
And that Abernathy police officer goes, you cannot bring that gun on this campus because he wanted to look at his starter pistol. Like in between races, as a hey, let me look at that thing. How does that work? And he showed to me, because you can't have that. So Dad had to break down and buy a starter pistol somewhere, you know, where the barrel is all plugged up. But and another really, really good story. I never ran varsity track, but my sister did. Okay. And she was okay. She wasn't great. She wasn't bad. She was helping the team.
Yeah.
Well, district track meet rolls around. Dad's the starter. And they're lining up for the mile, I believe. So he kind of got him staggered on that curb line, right? Kind of,
yeah.
Just a little bit. And Dad walks up as the starter. He is the starter. And he tells all the girls, you know, he gives them a little speech before every race.
Yeah.
And now you can get in your blocks. And then he turned around and he walked behind the girls. And his daughter, Kippy, is running. And he slaps Kippy on the butt. Pow. He says, go get him. Well, the people in the stands saw this and they didn't know. They're like, that ref, that starter just slapped a girl on the ass. And, you know, it's like, and Kippy didn't think, but man, they asked Dad. People came down and said, hey, I don't want you to touch my daughter. Dad was like, oh, gosh. Yeah, so what was this show about? It's not about my dad. It's about Coach Kittley. So let's get back to that. Coach Kittley. Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to get through some of these accolades before, okay? Just let me get to some of them right now. We'll go into detail a little bit about them, but you left Abilene Christian in 2000, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Well, 99.
Yeah,
and after 2000, the 99 season, 2000.
Yep. And you took the head coaching job at Texas Tech. Number one, it's a better opportunity. Number two, the pay is probably better.
There's no doubt. Yeah. No, I mean, it was a huge difference. You know, I was making about $40,000, and Gerald Myers offered me $80,000, and, you know, that was kind of a no-brainer. And like I said, we had been there for 15 years. We were starving. We didn't really realize it until right when we had another opportunity. We didn't really know the difference.
Right.
And from afar, I've told people this 100 times, but I always thought Texas Tech was a gold mine. When I was Abilene, I'm like, wow.
Why?
Because it was West Texas, and it was stupidity on my part, but I was owning West Texas kids. Tech wasn't getting them. I was getting them.
You were getting
Division II, and yeah, they're Division I, and I'm like, there's no way this should be this way.
Okay, and so speaking of recruiting, so you feel like you could recruit athletes better than Texas Tech was recruiting?
Yes, and I knew.
How did you do that?
It was one reason. I wanted to be at Abilene Christian. I wanted to be in West Texas. I wanted to recruit West Texas.
Yeah.
And the people weren't getting after it. To me, at Tech, I'm like, that can be a gold mine.
Yeah.
So I said to my friends, to Coach Falcons, who's with me now and been with me the whole time, my throws coach, if that job ever opens, that's one job that I would be interested in. I'm not interested in any other job in America but Texas Tech.
Let me ask you this question, too. This is now that you don't have to answer, but it'd be cool if you did. You've won a national championship. You've won several Big 12 championships. This is before your second national championship. This is out. Has anybody else called and said, hey? You want to come coach here?
Yeah.
I figured that happened. It had to have happened.
Yeah. I've had three times I could have looked at other jobs, but.
Anything that was enticing, like, you know, that would say, you know what, I'm thinking about this or anything like that?
Not at all.
That's what I thought.
This is where I wanted to be, and this is where I want to finish. And,
yeah.
It's home.
Okay, and let me just I know you grew up in rural, and then how did you meet Linda? The great, great lady.
Like, yes, like my bride.
One of the greatest ladies.
Well, I can tell you that story.
Tell me how you met Linda and how that went down and all that.
I honestly don't remember her much when she's in elementary, but right. In junior high, sixth grade.
Oh, wait a minute. She goes to rural?
She goes to rural.
Oh, yes, sir. I like
her. Her dad and my dad played football together.
Mm-hmm.
Eugene Rhodes, he was fullback. My dad was tailback.
Okay.
So he blocked for my dad.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
And they were great friends, but he was the West Texas utility man in rural. And I don't know, but I'm in the seventh grade and she's in the sixth. And I'm walking down the hall to my locker and I looked up and I saw this girl with purple bows and with blonde hair in a purple dress. And man, I can remember it as well as this day. And I was like, man, I'm telling you, I got to go with
her. Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of where it started. We would ride the school bus to play like Benjamin and Knox City and O'Brien.
Yeah.
Well, the boys and the girls ride the same bus.
Right.
So when I started liking her and asking her, well, then
they start sitting together. Turn
the bus lights off at night.
There you go.
I'd reach over there and hold her hands.
Absolutely.
So that's where it all started. We dated all through high school. I was a year ahead of her. I went to ACU and then she went to McMurray. And then
so at least you're still
during that time. We thought it'd be good to maybe date a little bit. We'd never dated anybody else.
Yeah.
But
you know who that sounds like to me?
Exactly.
Jet Buchanan. I mean,
yes.
All the Buchanans. It's really they're high school sweethearts. They tend to marry them. And and Jet, man, he dated the Channing Wicks, and man, they're married and they moved to Phoenix now, and he flies planes and all that good stuff. So it sounds like it's kind of reminded me of Jet. Or even Blake and Kippy. Blake and Kippy dated since it's sixth grade and never broke up. My sister and her husband.
Yes.
So, and now they're snow cone people.
Yes, they are.
So, but no, that's awesome, and I just love your wife, man. She's
been
always
with
been.
Me.
Yeah.
We on Monday we have been married 40 years, and she's been with me every step of the way. And
congratulations.
There's not a better wife that's for a coach's wife.
Yeah,
you know, you've been around several.
Well, I've been around coaching my entire life. Yeah.
Yes, you have.
Yep, and you know, Dad was a high school football coach until he started selling.
Yeah.
Sporting goods, which he called jockey straps. He's just calling himself a jockey strap salesman.
Sure.
I mean, that's just like Dad, really. So let me talk to you. Let me just lay down your accolades real quick again. I mean, we're 30 minutes in, and I haven't even gotten to questions yet. I can go on questions for forever. But at Tech, you come to Tech. Okay, you have in 2019, you won the national championship men's outdoor.
Yeah.
Okay, you have 31 NCAA championship runners. And now these numbers could be, they're not including this last.
Right. We have 35 now. We have
35. Okay. 283 first team All Americans. This is at Tech, which is more now. 200 Big 12 champions, which is more now. 11 Big 12 team championships. You know, and that's one of my nephew, Jet, who ran for you.
Yes.
That is one of his like most memorable moments was when he's a Big 12 champion.
Yes, he was.
Jet's a Big 12 champion.
He ran on the distance medley relay, and our team won the Big 12 championship at home. It was just special.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I just love
it. Memory.
Oh, I love it, man. It was like dreams coming true for Kippy and myself. I mean, we were crying up in the indoor facility that you guys have. Watching Jet in the Big 12. I mean, we watched him run against Friendship and Cooper and, sure, you know, and Lubbock High and all that. But it's different whenever he's passing a guy with the Texas uniform on.
No doubt. Especially passing that arm.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Nothing better.
You've had 19 Olympians. Is that the right number?
Yes.
Okay. Eight Olympic medalists. 7 top 5 NCAA team finishes. You finished in the top 7 5 times and 16 top 10 finishes. It's like you're never not there. That's terrible grammar, but you're always in it. That's pretty awesome. That's amazing.
It's one of my most proudest things. The national championship's so hard to win.
Yeah.
And you got to be fortunate to have, and you got to have great people, but you got to have a little bit of luck, stay healthy at the right time and all that. But the thing that's so fun was to bring a national prominent program to Texas Tech and every year be able to sustain that. And, it's one of my most proudest things.
Yeah.
To be in the hunt, I call it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, so we're going to get into some really cool stories. I've dug up some stories on you.
Okay.
You're hard, man, I consider myself pretty well researched when I have a guest in. I like to find out things where they go, how do you know that? I'm interviewing them and they go, how in the world do you know that? Okay. So I did you're the toughest one I've ever had to do research on.
Yeah.
You are close to the vest. And even before we get into it, really, I want to talk about your three kids real quick.
Yes.
Because you know what? We don't need to talk about Zach Kittley anymore. I mean, but let's start with John, your oldest brother. I mean, your oldest son.
Yeah.
I love John. He's calm, mild mannered, you know, pretty quiet in his own right, you know.
Yes, he is.
But he's successful down there. He's got kids. He's doing his thing. And like if I asked John to be on the show, he would be, what are you, crazy? He wouldn't be on this. So. Yeah. But you have John, and then in the middle, you got Chris.
Yeah.
And Chris is one of my best friends in the world. He really, really is. And truly, I cherish his friendship. He's there for me in some rough times. And I've tried to help him out in some rough times. And I give him marriage counseling because, hey, never been married before. Who better to listen to?
Exactly.
You know, and so Chris and then Zach. But talk a little bit about your kids.
Well, they're everything to me.
Yeah.
Jonathan, Chris, and Zach, man, they're my gifts.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely. And they're all a little bit different. And then they're all the same, too, when it comes to being. But, you know, John can do anything.
Absolutely.
He built him a barnuminium home. He can, he does the plumbing. He does
everything.
You know, he can just do anything. There's not anything. And, you know, I can remember when we had a farm in rural that I had bought, 150 acres, and we had to put a fence up, and he's driving the posts in, and, you know, he's just always being handy with his hands in the sense. And then I always thought Chris was probably going to be a coach, you know, or or when he was younger. And Chris was my little banty rooster, man, fast and quick and, you know, could dribble a basketball and just, you know, he just always always liked that when he was being, you know, brought up.
I want to go back to Chris, but let's move on to Zach. So, man, Zach was a freaking awesome basketball player.
Yeah.
And went to play in college. And did you have an inkling ever that he was going to coach football? During that time when he's playing basketball, did he show interest in coaching football?
Absolutely not.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he was our slow grower. He, you know, he was skinny and little. And, and then he just got about freshman in high school, and he just took off.
Yeah.
And he had 7 inches. You know, within about a 2 year span. So he was a little bit awkward, but boy, once he got to be about junior, senior year, then look out, man. He really, it was fun to watch them play
for sure.
Football and basketball and then run and he kind of did it all. But yeah, you know, I kind of pushed him into trying basketball because I just thought he would be really good at it.
Yeah.
So
he was really good at it.
Yes. And he went to Abilene, but I'm going to tell you one thing that has stood out, and there's nothing against Abilene, he'll tell you.
Right.
But he got up there one semester and he was like, man, this is not Lubbock.
Right.
And I wanted to be back in Lubbock.
Abilene is a different breed of cat.
Yeah.
You know,
and he came right back after one semester.
One semester.
And he started helping me
mm-hmm.
with Chris managing on the track team.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember the day, but he came in my office one day and just said, Dad, hope you're not mad, but I won't be a football coach. and I said then, you do. And I think I surprised him because I said, well, I want you to go over there and see Sonny Cumby.
Yes.
Clint Kingsbury was the coach. And I said, go ask him if you can volunteer. Mm-hmm. Because I knew Kingsbury got up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I knew that they're going to work his tail off.
Yeah.
And I said, one of two things is going to happen. He's going to love it or hate it.
Yeah, they're going to wash him out real
and
quick.
After one semester, TCU called Sonny. I thought it'd be over then. He's going to go be the OC. And Kingsbury called me and said, Kitley, this kid is phenomenal. He's fixing to be mine. I'm fixing to take him, and he's going to be in the quarterback room with me. And that's where it all started.
That is.
The truth. That's exactly how Zach got started, and that's exactly Kingsbury calling me, picking him out.
Yeah.
And he was just a flunky over there.
Yeah, just
doing it. But he impressed him because,
well,
it worked. My kids know how to work.
Yeah, and that's a direct result of parenting. I mean, I think, you know, same thing with me and with my, you know, my dad, good grief. You know, you had to work for everything.
That's right.
You weren't, nothing was given to you. I mean, we don't want for anything or anything like that, but dad was just a tough old boot, you know. And
he was raised.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was raised by a lady named Rudell. You got to be tough.
No doubt. Well, my granny was Blanche.
I feel like Rudell and Blanche are friends. I feel like they can hang out together.
Was my other one.
So, yeah, that's but that makes me laugh. But, you know, and I won't want to harp on Zach, you know, because I could talk to you about Zach or just about Chris or just about John the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of have to squeeze these in. But here's a problem I have, and I don't know if you have shared this same problem, but I get it. I get defensive very, very fast over people that I love and care about.
Yeah.
Now, I understand when coaching at a big school comes along, you know, you take what comes with it, and that's some of its criticism from people that don't really know a whole lot.
Yeah.
How do you? Because when people criticize Zach, how I can't imagine as a dad. I mean, you know, how hard is it to keep it in and go, hey, dude, listen, you know, won't you coach for a living?
Oh, no, I want to. Don't. I guess being 65 years old and hopefully a little more mature. No, you know, I have a philosophy there, especially at Tech, and I don't like it. But Leach came here and threw the ball around like crazy,
absolutely,
as we know.
Yes.
And all of our fans, they want that.
Yeah.
Well, Zach has come into a Joey McGuire program that likes to run the football.
Yes.
And so, you know, it just – but Zach wants to win.
Absolutely.
So Zach's going to do whatever it takes to win, but he's going to do what pleases Joey.
Right.
And so people just don't know.
They don't
know.
It's
the bottom line.
Yeah.
And yeah, I get sick of it. I'd like to punch them in the nose.
Yeah, me too.
But Zach is way smarter than his dad. He knows what he's doing. He hasn't forgotten how to coach.
Man.
You know, we give him a good offensive line, and you'll see what he can do.
You're dang right. And I mean, and I love the confidence that he had when he's on my show.
Yeah.
And I had him on, which was a big get and huge and for me. But I've been friends with Zach for a long time. I was like, dude, you're going to do the podcast. He's like, yeah, I know I'm going to do it. And he's like, I'm going to do it again. Because, you know, I'm like, okay, this summer, let's get it done. But, you know, he has the most confidence, not arrogance, but confidence in his ability.
Yeah.
He's like, we could score on anybody. We can do that. I know, you know,
well, man, they were struggling. The only thing Dad tells him.
Yeah, what do you?
Is, hey, you know, you just do what you do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know he knows what to do.
Yeah.
And people don't realize when he calls a play, you know, the quarterback can change it.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
once Zach puts that play in, he can't control anything else.
No.
And a lot of times things in there go are uncontrollable.
Now,
so
people don't like that, and, you know, that he does probabilities of what this is.
Yes.
You know, 5-man front showing this, well, the quarterback does this, or 3-man front shows something.
Right.
But.
And he understands all that.
It works pretty well.
Yeah. And he works pretty well. I'm so happy he's at Tech. But
we're having some great times, I'll tell you.
Yeah. And, okay, enough of. Well, how happy were you when he got the job? Were you like, hey, because Chris had been in Houston,
yeah,
and then he had been at Western Kentucky,
yeah,
and you know what? To me, that's what an assistant coach has to do. That's part of coaching. My dad in high school had coached in Kilgore, and was going to take the head football job at Friendship, but he had a state winning track team, and he was the track coach at Kilgore,
yeah.
But he had to leave because that was just it was an opportunity at Friendship, and they drove all the way across the state to go to Friendship. And, but that's part of coaching, you know? And I feel like if you just, I don't know, you know, it's just being a coach's wife is hard. And then being a coach is hard because you're day to day, no matter what.
Oh, no doubt. And I've been real fortunate as track coach, you know, 15 mm-hmm. years at Abilene and then here,
which
is 2.5 miles down the hour down the road.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a big deal.
Well,
I'm glad I was able to raise my kids and not move them much.
That's true. But you develop some sort of a community and some sort of a friendships with people and then you leave.
No doubt.
So,
no doubt.
Yeah, that's, you know.
But let's hope he can stay here a while.
Yeah.
He and Joy can build something really special.
Well, I think it's in the right direction.
I do too.
I don't think anybody thinks it's not in the right direction. At least if they think it's in the wrong direction, I will be happy to point out to them that it's not. So, I tell you what, Coach, we've got a good intro going. We've got a great intro going. And I just think I like to interrupt it right now, a little sound. What does that sound mean for people listening for the first time? It's called Tied Down, baby. We're ready to play Tied Down with Coach Wes Kittley, national champion, 2-time national champion coach, Wes Kittley. Coach, do you know what Tied Down is?
I honestly do not.
Okay, that's okay. Tied Down is a game I play with all my contestants. And really what it is, it's just 5 questions. That's it. And there's winners and losers. You can lose. Okay? You can lose. Now, I hand out points for each correct answer irresponsibly. Some may be worth 50 points. Some might be worth 50,000 points. I don't know how many points you need to win, but I'll just decide whether you've won or not.
It's all up to you.
Yes, it is all up to me. And it's called Tied Down. And if I can find it, it's somewhere around here. Where are my papers? I printed out Tied Down. Look at this. I'm so organized. And I got some, and while I'm looking, I got some stories. I called some of your former athletes. Oh, there it is. That's not it. Did I throw Tied Down away?
Who knows?
Where did I put that? Oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. Coach, just talk amongst yourselves right now. Talk to the people. What do you need them to know?
How about me telling the story of how Zach got here?
Okay, do that. That's great. While I'm looking, I'm listening too.
You know, of course, he left to go to Houston Baptist. He was there for 3 years, and then the Western Kentucky deal came up. He goes there for a year, we're playing for the championship against UTSA. And Sonny Cumbie had just been named by Joey to be the OC.
Yeah.
Don't keep him.
Yeah. And oh, then, yeah. That was a big deal. Yeah.
I think if I know the story, well, Sonny wasn't sure that he was going to get it before that, a week before. So he told his agent, hey, see what else is out there. Because I don't know. Joey hadn't told me yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got the head job offered at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
So Zach, we thought Zach wasn't going to get this job. You know, yeah. Because Sonny was going to keep it. And Zach said, that's what he needs to do, because Sonny had done a good job keeping it together.
Yeah.
And so it's a miracle. We're at UTSA. Joey calls Zach and says, hey, after that game, get in the car with your mom and dad and come back. So I brought him back to my house. They met, in a sense, secretly on that Saturday. Then Zach, we're waiting all day for Zach to get back home. And then he waits on Joey to call him for about three more hours at my house and offer him the job.
Man, that's a heck of a story. And, you know, he told that story when he was on, and the car ride.
Yeah.
From what, well, San Antonio.
Auburn's back calling to,
Auburn's calling him.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to name some
Miami
other ones.
Miami was in the mix.
I mean, he's got opportunities.
Yeah.
But that car ride must have been fascinating.
It
How
really
long
was.
Does it take? 5 hours? Five and a half? Man, oh, that's 5.5 hours. I would have loved to have been in a car with you guys.
It was interesting. Yeah. Tell you.
Man, that's life-changing stuff, really. But I've got Todd Down now, really.
Right.
That is the sound of Todd Down. Todd Down is 5 questions. Could be about anything, okay? There is a right answer to every question, Coach. I just want you to know. Now, like one of my questions before is like, what's the best condiment, okay? That you might say mustard, and to me, that's incorrect.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Okay, all right, so that's kind of how it goes. Now, we're, some of the questions are timed. Don't worry about it. People freeze up. People lock up. Jet Buchanan locked up on his. I mean, completely... People were yelling at him in their cars. He's told me, he's like, dude, you know how many people were yelling at me? Because they were like, Jet, you know. As I asked him, oh, what's who? Jet's a pilot. I said, who was Maverick's sidekick in the first Top Gun? And he just looked at me. And he's like, I've seen the movie 100 times. I go, okay, it's Goose. He did not know it was, I mean, he couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. So that there's you an example. Okay. We'll read the questions. We won't go over the answers till after the quiz is over. If I feel like you need bonus questions, I'll give you some bonus questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Coach Wes Kittler, you're officially tied down. Number one, in the popular 1980s TV show Knight Rider, what was the name of the famous talking car in the show?
Black something.
Okay. Number two, 3 choices. You got a 1 in 3 chance of getting it right. Okay. Hamburgers, hot dogs, or nachos?
Oh, hamburgers.
Okay, number three. It's very easy. It's 3 choices. John, Chris, or Zach?
Wow, that's a tough one.
It is tough. I'm putting you on the spot right now.
All right, we'll just go with Chris.
Okay, number four. Indoor track or outdoor track?
Well, outdoor track.
Okay. Number five. And there's a reason why I asked this question, and when we get through, I'll tell you why. Number five, aside from Marsha Sharp and yourself, who's the greatest coach of all time at Texas Tech University?
Wow.
Anything.
Well, I can tell you my favorite one.
Okay.
Gerald Myers.
Gerald Myers, okay.
Without a doubt.
And he was a coach.
Yes, he was.
So, okay. you got to think about this, okay, on this next one. These two are bonus questions, and you're going to need them. What is the mascot of NBA's Charlotte franchise?
Hornets.
Number seven. In the show Gunsmoke, what is Matt Dillon's sidekick's name?
Festus.
All right, Coach, you are officially untied. Now we're going to go over the answers.
Okay.
In the Knight Rider show, this is what David Hasselhoff would talk to his car.
I remember David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
See, I vaguely remember the show.
Yeah, yeah. The name of the car was Kit.
Kit. Okay. You should have known that.
That's what I'm saying. You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, there is 2 right answers really for me, but hamburgers, hot dogs, or nachos. It's hamburgers and then nachos.
Yeah,
and so hamburgers you got correct. So there you go. Number three, I said, John, Chris, or Zach? And here's what I love. Christmas is going to be awesome this year at your house because you said Chris. I want Zach and John to know that, and you know what? I put John. So that's incorrect. Yeah. Chris is incorrect.
Okay.
John is the right answer. Indoor track, outdoor track, it's always outdoor track. So, yeah, you got that one right. What is the mascot? You had to think. Was the mascot of the Charlotte franchise? They're no longer the Hornets.
Okay.
They are the Bobcats.
The Bobcats, yes.
Where would you have heard that mascot before?
The Rule of Bobcats.
Okay, see? There you go. And Matt Dillon's sidekick in the show Gunsmoke, his name was Festus. That was the high point question of the day. So if I add up the points and irresponsibly hand it out, carry the one, foil it. But you've won the day on Tied Down. You have won. And awesome. I want to know where this compares to the national championship, to a Big 12 championship, to winning Tied Down.
Oh, it's right there.
It's right there?
It's right there.
Okay.
No,
well, you don't go home empty-handed. There's bracelets, and a koozie, and a sticker for you for win, lose, or tie. Those are yours. You've won those. And congratulations, you won Tied Down. That is a big, big, big deal here.
Did Chris win?
Chris won. Jamie Berryhill lost. Chris Level lost.
Oh, Level lost. So, he's my buddy.
Dude. Yeah, I love Chris Level. Yeah, he's been on twice. He lost. So, okay, boom. We got that out of the way. You're a winner. Now you got confidence going. And I want to ask you a little bit about it. I reached out to some of your athletes, former athletes. Sean Harris, he's a buddy of mine. Great runner for you.
Yes.
And he's a buddy.
Hall
of Famer. Man, that guy's awesome. Talked to him on the phone for a long time this morning.
Okay.
Yeah. But Sean's first story that he told me, and he said, just ask Coach Kittley about this, but Coach, how often and when do you wear shorts?
Well, I used to wear them a little bit more until I had a little bit of cancer cut off right here, but I never wear shorts now, ever. But I used to, and I'm sure that beanpole, they made fun of me.
Hey, I can tell you right now, Sean said, he goes, it was just random one day. He shows up out in practice, and he goes, and everybody was like, what? Coach, and not only were you wearing shorts, you were wearing jean shorts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Sean was like, dude, we were in a frenzy. It was like Coach Kittley's wearing jean shorts out here. We've never even seen them.
Yeah,
man.
They let me have it.
I love it. Well, and he was so complimentary of you that,
he's one of my culture builders, man.
Yeah. And
he's positive every day he comes to the track. He comes to work.
Yeah.
And he brought people with him. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I love him, man. They don't make him any better.
And he thinks, and he made a good point. He goes, you know what? Who's just as important at coaching him? What was Rhonda? What was your wife? I mean, Linda, your wife, sorry. He was like, she played a big part too in those kids and in his life. And which I think is fantastic. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
Linda loves those kids, man.
Yeah. And finally, Sean, but he said, Coach Kittley immediately, not only is he a mentor and a coach, but immediately, he comes in and he's like a father figure and you don't want to let him down. And that's part of his success is that yes, he demands respect and yes, he is the head coach and yes, he can get on you some if you're not doing your thing, but he's like a father figure at all for everybody on that track team. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, these are grown kids, you know, in college. Man, that's a pretty good compliment, you know, just to say that he was like, man, he's just a father figure and he's like a celebrity when we go places. And he goes, you immediately respect him. And he never does anything to lose that respect. That's a pretty good quote. That's pretty good praise.
Well, I appreciate him so much. And, you know, I want to make a difference, and that's why I do what I do. And it's special to have kids like him.
I bet.
Makes me feel proud.
Right. And then another guy that I happen to know pretty well is Jet Buchanan. and Jet ran for you. And I'd like for you to tell the story a little bit, but Jet talked about you on his episode when he was on. But, okay, how ironic is his name is Jet? He can run. He could jump in the – he dunked it. He had so many dunks. He's only 6'2".
Well, he could have played basketball.
Yeah. Oh, somewhere. Absolutely. He could jump. He can run. He's not the most talented runner, but he can run. And run. He ran well enough to run at Tech.
Well, yeah.
And win at Big 12 championship.
We only get to take 26 people to the Big 12. I have 60 guys on the team. Yeah. He was one of the 26 that made it, so you're pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he made the distance medley relay.
And they got third. Yes. And that's the thing. Well, I want to get into that in just a little bit later, too, but about how track is scored and how much coaching is involved in that, because people don't understand. How you win a track meet and how much coaching is different in college than it is in high school.
Yeah.
I don't want to stop there. I want to talk about what Jet said. Jet said that one of the biggest lessons he learned was from you. Huge lesson. Outdoor meet. I think he was running the 1,000. I don't know if that an outdoor event.
No, it'd be indoor, but maybe the 1,500.
1,500. Maybe he's running the 1,500. Yeah. And you know, Iowa State is there. There's some other big colleges there. I'm there. That's what really matters. And there at the track, we did for it to start, and the wind is blowing like crazy. I mean, it's blowing hard, which is, you know, nothing new out here, especially during track season. Anytime I see dirt blowing, I'm like, well, there's a track meet going on somewhere.
Yeah, it's March or April.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. But he goes, I went over there and talked to him, said, you know, okay, let's re-go over strategy. You know, you wanted to talk to you about that. And he said, Jet, with this wind blowing, the way it's blowing, hard as it is, he said that you said, I don't want you to care about a time at any point in time when you're running this thing. All I want you to do is win. Just go win the race.
Yeah.
So, and which is like, it sounds so simple, but it took all the math and all the complication out of how to hit times during the wind or whatever, which other coaches are probably like, okay, during the wind, you're going to have to hit a time at this mark and have to hit, you know, stay with. And to you, your simple coaching was, hey, don't worry about it. The wind is wild.
Well, these kids just be competitive. All want to do well, but they want to run fast. And then when the wind's blowing, it's so I can see it over them every week. Oh, I can't run fast today. Mm-hmm. And I already knew they can't because the wind's too high. We don't care about that.
Yeah.
Go compete. Go get in there. The run to win took the pressure off of him. Yeah. I was trying to take the pressure off of him.
That's exactly what you did. And that's exactly what he said.
And man, you know.
Yeah. And he won, that's cool. He won a race. He won a
I remember that race.
Yeah. And he hustled and came from behind on the back stretch, on the home stretch. And just, well, and so Jet talked about that. He also brought up, he's not happy with you, but he understood it. Every time y'all went to May Simmons and ran the hill.
Yeah, they never did love that hill over there. But,
May Simmons, there's for you folks listening to
that. That's why he had that kick on that 50.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly. May Simmons has this big hill, grassy hill. And I mean, I know exactly which one you're talking about. And to run up and down that thing, I don't think so. I'd have pulled the muscle on the first one, whether it was pulled or not. I would have my coach. I got some problems in my hamstring, I think. Yeah. But Jet said that was just one of those things where,
oh, yeah. We wore that hill out.
Do you still do it?
Oh, all the time. Oh, yeah.
I know.
I do it in the fall. We don't do it in the spring, but we do it in the fall to build our base and really some strength training.
Jet said it. He goes,
we go every week.
That if we rode a bus or a van or if we drove over, but he goes, just the drive over there was just, you're just dreading. You're dreading it the whole time, which I think builds some mental toughness, don't you think?
No, there's not any doubt.
Yeah.
Not any doubt.
Well, the last thing I want to bring up about Jet, and I think you said this too, but the way – and Jet's not a quitter, but the way he left the track program and what he did for you in your office, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Whenever he talked to you about leaving, he's getting his flight pilot's license. He wants to finish school. He didn't know if he could help the team. This is the way I remember him saying it. And you were totally, you know, okay with that. Those were life decisions. Jet wasn't going to make or break your team. So, you know, but, and then he prayed for you.
Yeah.
I don't know how many kids have done that, come in and quit and then prayed for you.
Well, none. Yeah, he's the only one that's ever prayed for me. You know, there in front of me.
Yeah.
I think some people maybe have prayed for me behind the scenes.
I'll bet. I have.
I can remember him. He was a little bit nervous, I think, coming in to tell me and sure. all that. But, you know, he such a good kid, so smart, knew what he was doing. And the last thing in this world I wanted to do was, you know, shatter any kind of a dream he had or yeah. whatever. And he knew what he was. He was just going from one thing that he'd given his all to.
Yeah.
He expects him to go do something better.
And he can do all that.
And he is.
He's,
and
there's
I was
nothing he
to
can't
encourage
do.
Him
yeah.
to do it.
And that's what he
and
said.
So then instead, he encourages me.
Yeah. And I mean, and to be honest with you, that's the man he is.
Yeah.
That's not a facade. That's not just to do that. He genuinely is that guy.
No, he's
an amazing kid.
You talk about a team person.
Yes.
He embodies
and
that.
I remember he was so mad, Coach Kittley, and I want you to talk about this award real quick. He was so sick that he couldn't make an awards banquet, and he won the Matador Award, some award.
Yeah.
It's one of the highest honors you can get.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called.
I don't either. They changed the name of it
a couple
too.
Of times. But it's basically the guy that just yeah. works his tail off and,
oh, yeah.
and busts his butt. And he wasn't there to get it, but he has that award, and it's I think it means just as much as a Big 12, you know, title ring or whatever. That you know, at least he was recognized, and because
yeah.
he wasn't your stud, he wasn't gonna go out and you know make or break whether y'all won or lost, but he could contribute.
Well, and you have to have you know, I was good, but I wasn't like a superstar, but I was good, but you have to have guys like him. Sean Harris is exactly the same.
Yeah,
Jet was. They're ready. They're there early. They're ready to go. They're leading the group.
Mm-hmm.
They're leaders on the team. They,
yeah.
they set your culture.
Yeah.
And then the kid that's maybe more talented, well, okay, I have a little pride. I'm going to get over there and go. But he wouldn't have done it. Jet had done it.
Right.
You know, and it just that's, made everyone better.
That's perfect. That kind of
those kids are invaluable.
Yeah, absolutely. That I think that's, I mean. And it makes me proud of Jet. It really does. So
yeah,
now,
he'll do some great things.
Yeah, I mean, but and he can't even make it up. He's a pilot now. His name is Jet.
Yes.
He can run. He can jump like a jet, and then he's a pilot.
He's flying
now.
Them
yeah,
now.
And he's got a great job flying private for a company they moved to Northern Arizona.
Yes,
Northern Phoenix. Yeah, and his and his new wife Channing.
Yeah.
And I mean, and then he started playing golf in high school. And that sucker can play golf. It's like, what can't you do, Jet? I told him. I videoed him playing golf. And he hit his great shot from like 170 out onto the green. And I go, hey, suck it something, Jet.
He said, no, I don't think so.
No. He was absolutely. No, I'm not going to suck at that. So those are just two of the. And then Sean was like, man, he taught you life. He's like, Coach Kittley just taught you life. A lot of times it was more life than it was track. But because when you go play, when you go run track at a collegiate level, everybody's fast.
Yeah. Everybody's
so
good.
Everybody's good. And you got to have a mental toughness about you. And so that, I'm going to ask you the real tough question now. Okay. You already said you like outdoor better, but compare the two national championships, outdoor with the men,
yeah.
indoor with the men. What is there one? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Is there one you're more proud of, or one you that you think of a little bit as more special than the other?
Well, I will. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
For the probably obvious reason, and I'll clarify it. But yeah, winning the first national championship in the history of Texas Tech for men.
Yes.
In Austin. In front of the Longhorn crowd.
Yes.
It just doesn't get any better than that.
Yep.
And, of course, then once you win one, I've always, and this sounds, I hope it doesn't sound wrong, you know, I didn't want to just be somebody that won one.
Right.
I felt like if you can do it again, then you that's more established your legacy. That's more established our program. And then to be able to go do an indoor one,
yeah.
which people don't realize, like, it's so much easier to just plan for the year if you just had one championship. When you got pressure to,
yeah. I mean,
there's 5 weeks to qualify for indoor nationals. So you're really killing your kids for 5 weeks because you have to qualify.
Right.
Only 16 people get to go in per event.
Yeah.
Out of 330 schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, per event, just 16 of the best in the country.
Yeah. It's not 16 Red Raiders.
It's 16
people. Period. Yeah, exactly.
And it's just the hardest championship to win.
Yeah.
So even though the first one was at Austin was probably the most special.
Yeah.
This one was really special, too, because it's the second one, and we did it more than once. And
yeah.
We did it with different group of kids. And it's more the program and the culture and,
yeah.
and thing that I'm proud of. My coaching staff has all stayed together, and it's really, really proud.
Oh, my gosh, man. I can't even believe, like, I got a two-time national champion sitting here. I've had David Thomas on. He's a national champion and a Super Bowl champion, but I've never had a two-time national champion here on the hot seat here in the Black Flag studio, but – you're here, and lastly, well, let's talk about the Olympics.
Yeah.
How many Olympics have you been to?
I've been to all of them almost, except since 84.
Did you go to Sochi, or is that Winter Olympics? That was Winter.
84. We got married, Linda and I, in March. We were married 40 years Monday.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's an accomplishment.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And but we got married in March. On spring break, I come right back to a track meet. But we went to L.A. in 84 to the first Olympics. And then, you know.
And y'all went together?
Yes.
So you're like my dad. We're going to go on a vacation.
Oh, yeah.
But ours was the state track meet. Yours is the Olympics. Yeah. Okay. There's a little bit different. That's a little bit different.
I love that same. That state track meet got me probably wired to do what I do.
Yeah.
I think it's sinful how much I love getting up and going to work every day. And I'm 65, and I don't know why, but it's just like I'm more excited about it now than I've ever been.
Is that right?
And I think it's because, you know, we have a great university. I have
sure.
a great staff. We have good budget. I think it's just the best time to be at Texas Tech. Good facilities.
Yeah. Do you still have an office right now with all that going on?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, is there going to be new digs for you as well?
I don't think so. I think I'm happy with where
you
are.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. we've got the best, I think, indoor facility in the country.
Oh, it's so awesome.
And we're going to travel. We have a great outdoor track, but we travel more outdoors than we do in.
Mm-hmm.
So we like staying home in the fall.
Are you in charge of the scheduling, where you'll go?
I am.
Is that tough to do?
It is. But in track, we're kind of, I guess, old dinosaurs. We don't change much. Like if Baylor's having a meet this year, they have it the same meet next year.
And the same weekend.
Texas Relays never moves. And,
right.
And, you know, I kind of do the same.
So some of that is, yeah.
You get in a routine of knowing, okay, this hotel, this routine, whatever. And so that really helps.
Yeah.
Feel familiar. Or whatever.
Yeah, I got you. And that just seems like a lot. But
I have Lana Jones, who's my director of ops, and
she handles a lot of that.
Oh man, she's the best.
People that are like your travel person or handles all your logistics.
Yes.
People that do that, they amaze me because I could never do that.
Well, she.
I mean, I'd
we
show
have 60 girls and 60 guys.
Yeah.
She is planning travel, roommates,
yes.
meals. You know, it's yeah. She's the one sending out every information. The bus is delayed. We got to wait. You know, we're sending 5 buses. You know, track meet's not like any other sport. You go play a basketball game. Everyone eats at the same time. Everyone goes to their warm-up. In track, you're competing at 10 in the morning. I'm competing at 6 at night.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be up there all day because I'm going to wear myself out.
Right.
So we have to eat differently.
That is...
It's a...
That, you never think about that.
It's the hardest job for a director of ops.
I never really thought about it like that.
No.
Because, Coach, if I was your director of ops, it would be like, we would get there maybe, and I'd go, all right, where do y'all want to eat?
Exactly. We try to do the night before, have the meal together. And other than that, everyone's eating at different times.
Different times. Man, I didn't even think about that.
Going to the track and coming back at different times.
That's just crazy stuff you never really think about.
Yeah.
I mean...
Very
you know,
different.
So you went to the Olympics in 84 in LA, and
88, 92. I mean, I don't know. 88,
you went to Seoul?
Yes, I don't know that I missed one in there, and I believe it was maybe it was 90s. No,
did
96,
you go to Australia?
Atlanta.
Did you go to?
No, it was Australia. I did not go there.
Yeah,
and I don't remember why. I don't know if I had a baby. I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
you know, in there, but I missed only one or two in the last. Since 84.
Man, and so how do you Do you go just like a regular fan, or can you get credentialed? Like, is that
you have pretty much go as a fan? Yeah, yeah. You know, the whole U.S. team, and I took Jonathan Johnson was our first.
I took him to
the Olympics in Greece, and I had a pass there because I'm his coach.
Yeah.
But other than that, if you don't have an athlete,
that's there,
you're not getting anywhere close.
You're there like me.
We went 2 weeks early to Crete. I was our training facility, and then we flew into Greece
So with Jonathan, let folks know Jonathan Johnson was a runner at Tech, and you were in the 800, right?
Yes.
And
Sean Harris's teammate at Abilene High.
Yeah, see, boy, yeah. they weren't very good.
They won state championship. Yeah.
But Jonathan Johnson makes it to the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, and one of the greatest pictures of all time is when he won the national championship.
It's the iconic picture.
And he holds
in my office today.
And he's holding the guns up while he's crossing the finish line.
Yeah. You want me to tell you that quick story?
Please. Oh,
tell me all of it. At the Olympic trials.
Like, say it again. You're at Sacramento at the Olympic trials.
And he's nervous as a cat. We've made the finals. And we're running, you know, he's a junior in college. Everybody on there is 25 to 30 years old in the finals. A great 800 people. Mm-hmm. And we're in the warm-up, and he's just sweating like I've never seen him. And he won't talk. He won't say anything.
Is he pretty mild-mannered, too? I remember him.
He is. Yeah. But I could tell he was almost freaking out.
Gotcha.
Well, I just ripped a piece of paper out of my notebook. Mm-hmm. And I went over and said, "Hey, Jonathan, come over here. You guys head down." Mm-hmm. And I draw the track, and then I'll say, "Look, this is what we're going to do. We're gonna take this race out. These guys are older, and we're going to set a hot pace so that they don't – the slower the pace, they'll kill you
because
they're strong.
Yeah.
So we're going to go out. I want you to be 25 flat, and I want you to be 50.8 at the quarter, right at 51. This is moving. And just relax in the next 110. When you get to the 500 on the backstretch – I want you to start moving. Don't kick, but I want you to start moving and getting away from those older guys. And we're going to be 117 at the 600. That is moving."
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I said, "Then when you get off the curve and you come down that home stretch," and he said, "Guys, head down." And I say, "Look at me. Hey, look at me."
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get his attention. "When you hit that finish line, you give me a guns up."
Oh.
That's the end of the story. Here's the good part. 25 flat at the 200, 50.8 at the quarter. At the 500, he took off and left. It was 117 flat. And then give me the guns up at the end.
Yeah.
He was listening to everything I was telling him. I have that in my office framed,
that piece of paper.
He hit it to the T.
Yep. I mean, just.
And I was only doing that to get his mind off.
Just to get his mind up. Yeah. And that's
he was listening. He was
You know what that's called, Coach Kitley? Yeah, and that's exactly this is when you did that, and it's like what you did with Jet. You know what that's called? That's called freaking good coaching. That's what that is. And I mean, you've learned all through these years where you've been what's good coaching and what's not. You see kids because you got to adapt to their personalities.
I'm not a cookie cutter coach,
right? You may have to be a little harder on some guys. But Jonathan John, that was, I mean, it really was pretty impressive. What was his 800 time?
144.77.
What was your time?
149. There's a little bit. He ran 148.5 at Abilene High School. He was the number one 800. He's the one that put Tech on the map of us. Like, Texas Tech was not good when I took the job.
Right.
And then when we got him, people started looking at us different.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I got Sean, and then I got Tyree Gales off Abilene High. We got Matt Stewart from Framingham. I built that first Big 12 championship with that group of guys.
Yeah.
Was local almost.
Is there a big difference? Because you are the women's coach too.
Yes.
So some girls want to be coached harder than some of the guys.
No doubt.
But is it a big difference in general, from coaching the girls, coaching the guys?
I think so.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I can get them hard in a different way, whereas I can get on guys harder any way I want to a lot of times. I'm not a yeller, screamer, cusser, but if you are lazy and I've told you to pick it up or whatever, then I'm gonna get on you.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna get on you and get over it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's nothing personal.
I'm going to get on you, and tomorrow you will never know that we got on you. I got on you, man. It's over with me. Just change behavior.
And that's a challenge in itself. for you personally, because you're not holding a grudge or being still mad the next day or whatever. Golly, that's
the way I try to be every day. I try to be the same to the kids every day.
That's a
not
great,
high, not low.
Yeah. So when you go to the other Olympics, do you, I'm just trying to get a feel of like, is it hard to find a seat? Do you already have a seat?
Yeah.
Is it's a assigned seat? Yeah.
You and have tickets. Do you, it is hard to get around. It's very difficult.
Okay.
You really are becoming a fan. And I was in the warm up area with Jonathan, but then I had to have a ticket in the stands to go watch it.
Go watch.
And so it was very strict.
You didn't think
you got a kid in the Olympics, you're gonna get everything, you get nothing.
Nothing.
No, they charge everything. They just give America like 4 or 5 coaches passes. And that's going to be the head coach and assistant coach,
you know,
or whatever the whole.
I would have loved if you couldn't get in, and all you told Jonathan, go, hey, listen, I'm not going to be there, but I want you to call me collect after it's over.
say
it's Jonathan if you won.
Yeah.
Say it's two other guys to be finished second, third, or fourth, and then. All right, that'll be it.
Well, thank goodness I'm able to be there for all those. Yeah.
Maybe you need to start doing that, though, implementing that. No. It's like, I don't even want to know. I don't need to spend any money. Just call me collect and just tell me who it's from, and then I'll hang up the phone.
One thing that is my philosophy, though, you remind me of is I really believe my job as a coach is to not hamstring these kids. And so I try, like, to teach them, this is what we do on Monday, Tuesday, even training, but handling the meet, talking to Jed or to JJ at the meets, to where they don't have to have the greatest compliment they can give me is to go through my program in 4 years and they don't need me.
Yep.
Then I know I've done my job.
Yeah.
And it's like them three boys that I raised, they were my gifts.
Right.
But it was my responsibility to grow that gift.
Right.
That's how I feel about my team.
Well, it shows.
I am good. I've done a good job if I can do that.
Yeah.
But if they're like, Coach, what I do, and they've been a senior,
yeah,
I didn't do very good.
Gotcha. And that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, when you're coaching and you win a Big 12 championship, winning the national championship, Is the Gatorade bath, is it as awesome as it looks?
It was the coldest one I've ever had.
This last one? Yeah. That is so funny.
They had ice in this one. But,
yeah.
No, I'm going to tell you, those are.
That's, boy.
As Peyton, my oldest granddaughter.
I love Peyton, too. She's
14
awesome.
Or 9, we went out here on the outdoor track. Uh-huh. And they set me up with like you, and they were going to interview me. It was all fake, and they were going to dump the water. But blue Gatorade.
Blue.
Picture of me, and it's hitting me, and my face hasn't reacted yet because I hadn't felt it.
Yeah.
And Peyton could not understand, why are they pouring blue water on
you? That's so funny.
I'll
never
forget her saying blue water, and I was like, to a kid, hey, I get it.
I was watching my niece True play a basketball game in JV basketball game in Plainview.
Yeah.
And my little niece, Channing, who's 5, was sitting in front of me with Jay, her dad. And I got ejected because the referee sucked.
Yeah.
And it wasn't hardly anybody in the stands, but he ejects me in the second quarter. So I have to leave. I walk outside. I'm sitting in the truck. Jay calls me, my brother, and goes, hey, you need to talk to your niece Channing because she thinks you're in jail. She's like, did he go to jail?
To her, it was a major ordeal. Yeah,
exactly. She's like, oh my gosh, my uncle's getting kicked out of a gang.
He's taking him to jail.
Yeah, he's taking him to jail. So, okay. All right. I've held you for a while now and more than you probably wanted to be here. But outdoors coming up pretty quick.
Yes.
Yep. What's your style? Does your style change? Does philosophy change?
It does.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, indoors, you've got 5 weeks to qualify for nationals.
Right.
It's pressure every week. We got to get that mark. Outdoors, they don't do top 16. They have a regional. You have to be a top 48. They divide the country in half, west and east.
Uh-huh.
We're in the west.
Okay.
And we go to Arkansas. And you got to be top 12 in your event there. But there's also, that's just half the country. Then there's top 12 in the East. all I want to do with this team is get them ready. Of course, we want to do good at meets, but I want to get them ready for Big 12, for regionals, for nationals. It's not, it's not the pressure right off in March and in April to have everyone 100% ready. We got to be ready late.
Yeah.
So the philosophy changes.
And I want you to explain to the people, because it is a little different to me, because I'm used to high school track, and that's what I grew up with. Explain to me the difference in the scoring as far as team goes. Because you can rotate guys in and take guys out.
Yes, we can.
I mean,
it's simple. Yeah. Here's the one big thing.
Yeah.
And I like it better. High school coaches may or may not, but 10 points is first place in any event.
Right.
Relays don't give you any more than that discus thrower.
Right.
So in high school, it's 20.
High school relays.
16, 12. Well, we're 10, 8, 6, 4, 3, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And so it's a lot more your track team, and your individual is just as important as that relay.
Yeah.
And everyone loves relays.
Yeah.
But I have always been a coach. Like, I won the first national championship without a mile relay.
And that's got to be tough to
and
do.
And this one, I had one.
Yeah.
But
I didn't want to have one,
but it was just how it worked out. I had great discus, pole vault, javelin, high jump, long jump, triple jump. And I'm like, hey, I'm spread out. This is the way to win the thing.
Right. So there's different ways to win.
I've been doing it almost the same, but it morphs into different ways at times.
Yeah, but let me make sure I get this straight, because if I'm not wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, in high school, isn't the mile relay worth more?
No, it's 20.
It's 20 points if you win the mile relay.
But in college, it's not. It's just 10 points. Everything
is 10 points for a winner.
Discus is 10, 4x4 is 10.
Right.
Mile relay, whatever.
Yeah. And are you keeping a total? Does somebody keep a total for you and they come over and talk to you during the meet? This is where we are versus.
I pretty much can keep up with it.
You keep up with it in your head.
I don't really. I'm pretty good at math. Not good as Chris.
Chris is really good at math. And he likes to show off too.
But I can keep up with it. Like, I knew exactly where we were this weekend. I was watching. Now, I'm not watching everybody. I was watching Florida and Arkansas.
Right.
I thought that was the only two that could beat us.
Yeah.
So I'm watching their events when they would compete. And I'm like, okay, they got 37. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've got three more events coming, and we're going to get to 50, I hope. Got 50 and a half.
After you win a national championship, either one, Big 12, do you ever just go home? It's just you and Linda, and you go, I'm pretty badass. I don't see that from you, but when you're alone, when you're sitting alone, and you just go, "Yep, I'm the man."
You said something earlier, and it's really kind of how I am, man. I don't want to disappoint Gerald Meyer, Kirby, Hogan.
Sure.
I don't want my Red Raider Nation, my kids. I want my boys to feel like dad knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's the winner. You know, I want them to be proud of me.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to disappoint people. My wife, I mean, you know, she was with me there this time, and she was always teaching school and didn't get to go to all these.
Right.
And now she gets to go with.
Is she a nervous wreck like Linda Black would have been?
She's pretty nervous, yeah.
And I know you.
She was crying. I looked up when we won, and when I was walking to her, she had been crying.
Do you ever get teared up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sensitive. It's just like, man, we did it. We finally did it.
It's a celebration. It's like a celebration weight lifted off your shoulder.
No doubt.
It's like the weight comes off, but the joy comes in.
That's awesome. There was something special about this team.
Yeah.
And you don't want to lose that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So
I got it. All right. Well, lastly, and then we'll be done, but you're an interesting guy, Coach, because, listen, I've tried to dig up anything. I was like, okay, what's his favorite movie? I'm texting your son, both of them, Zach and Chris. What's his favorite drink? Like, what does he do as a hobby? And Chris just texts me and goes, listen, his hobby is winning, and that's it. And I was like, occasionally he'll have a Coke and a McDonald's coffee. And what did you do? You walked in with a McDonald's coffee.
Yep.
Right on, dude, you're right on brand with that, right on brand. So to me, I would just like to have, you know, I wanted to incorporate that into some tied down questions or whatever, but man, it just sounds like, you just go and go, and you're track focused and family focused, and that's really about it.
Oh yeah, anything my family's involved in, or my grandkids, or my boys, we're going to be there. And the neatest thing about Zach coming to Tech is it's made Chris and Zach and Jonathan closer.
Absolutely.
And my daughter-in-laws, man, you talk about my Breezy and my Callie,
Emily,
and my M. Yeah, I call her my M.
Man, they did well. Yeah. They did well. I mean, you know what's funny is that even Bree, Chris's wife, just looks at me and goes, "How are you his friend? Because all y'all do is put each other down." And I go, "I know, but that's what we like."
Exactly.
That's how I know he's
from high school.
That's how I know he's my friend. So, but Coach, man, I'm sure proud of you, and I want to thank you so much for sitting down and taking some time out of your schedule, especially after winning the national title. I was not going to have you on before the national title, because if you lost the national championship, I would have felt like it was my fault, because, oh gosh, he was on my show, and now it's been the – so I was rooting for you hard. I was like, dude, because Coach, I was rooting for you hard.
Let me tell you, and I want to say this, and the reason I wanted to come today mostly from my heart is, man, you raised my boys, I mean, in friendship.
Yeah.
And they love you, and you were fantastic giving us publicity and my kids, and like I say, for a long time. And so it just gives me an honor to be here. I want to thank you for that, because my kids, they thank the world of you.
Well, that hits me in the chest, so because I think they're awesome. And you're right, I gave Chris some pep talks before football games that we can't repeat.
Yep.
And John too, and John was, you know, and then Zach, of course. So, but you raised good kids, you got good grandbabies,
grandbabies are fun.
I mean, I tell you, man. So, Coach, I want to thank you. And are you against me trying to run a campaign of naming one of the loops, the new loop, after you? I want to call it the West Kittley Speedway.
Speedway, okay.
Yeah, and it still has to have a speed limit on it, but I just think that fits so perfect.
Well,
with Marsha Sharp, because the greatest coach in Texas Tech history. Now, I love it when I'm sitting with Chris, because we'll talk about athletics. And I'm usually in front of a group of people, and we'll say, "Who's the best coach?" And I'll just go, "Well, okay, let's think about this. Current coaches." I'm like, number one is Tom Stone. Number two, it is Joey McGuire. Number three is Tim Tadlock. Number four is Chris DeGerlich. Number five is the softball coach, who I don't know. And then I think it's Wes Kittley, right around the sixth area. Dude, your son Chris nearly comes over the table. I mean, he nearly comes over across the table and body slams me every time. And he knows I'm kidding, but he still gets a little fiery. And I'm like, of course. I go, who was that last Lady Raider coach that got fired? I put her above Coach Kittley, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what does Coach Kittley do? Coach track. Exactly. And he gets so fired up for that. He does. I know how to get under his skin with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Coach, you are the greatest coach in Texas Tech history. And I'll say that to you flat out right now. Two national championships. Nobody's done that. And if Marsha Sharp, and God love Marsha Sharp, she was awesome. But,
well, she set the standard.
And I mean, tell you.
I always wanted to bring a national championship. Well, let's go get another one.
Let's go get another one. Well, I think two deserves some sort of a section of a dirt road, or you know
dirt
what I'm
road
saying?
About right. Yeah, back like in rural.
Yeah.
I was raised 12 miles out in the country.
See, there you go. If you can name that dirt road to your house, like something needs to be named. I want Wes Kittley's name in. I want him to lead the country. I want him to coach. And, you know, we were having a hard time finding coaches after Wells. Well, it was the big search after Cliff left, right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, why can't Coach Kittley just coach the football team and then the track team? Why? Coach Kittley knows how to win. So next time, if we need to, let's say Grant McCaslin moves it on. Coach, I want you to step right in. I think you can do it.
I think I'm good, Rob.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Coach, thank you for the compliment, and thank you for coming on Win, Lose, or Tie. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
I hope you had a good time. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's it. That's it for the show. And I'm going to end all my shows like I did my phone calls in the 90s. And that was with one word, and it was cheesy, but it was one word only, and that word is...
Win.
Peace.